Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's consideration is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verses 37 through 39. I read as follows in Jesus' name. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when you cross Olivet heading from east to west towards Jerusalem, you come up over the hill and there it is, the panorama of Jerusalem in front of you. That city had been spoken about thousands of years before when the writer of Chronicles, in fact, God was writing and directly addressing the people, said, now I have chosen Jerusalem for my name, to be there, and I have chosen David to rule my people Israel. And it wasn't merely that God would be there. God wanted his people there as well. And he wrote about that in Deuteronomy when he said, there in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your families shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. So King David, in about the year 1000 BC, conquered Zion, the fortress Zion, made Zion, the fortified city of Jerusalem, his home. Solomon built the temple in the very same place. The cloud of God's glory came and descended upon it, demonstrating that that was the place where God had wanted his name to, in fact, be. His name, where his name condescended to dwell, as the writer to Chronicles puts it. Now, today's text seems not about happiness, about those families, and about everybody celebrating Jerusalem. It's really about regret. God's will was that Jerusalem welcome the most important presence of his name, of God's name, in Christ coming. Not in that presence in the cloud. Prophecies foretold about the coming of the Son of David, who would in fact bring a salvation, who would rescue God's people from their sins, and Jerusalem, you might say, from its mortality. God's purpose was for Jerusalem and the presence of his name there in the temple to be a metaphor for a greater salvation in the living Christ and above. Jerusalem became the stage where God revealed his love in a much fuller sense than a cloud of presence. For in Jerusalem, God himself, incarnate in Jesus Christ, would come and make his presence felt in flesh and in blood. And he would die for mortal Jerusalem so that it might become immortal, all those in the city, all of those families, all of those people who believed in his name. What happened to the happy, blessed people who had settled in Jerusalem? In the city of God, they grew tired of God. Sin was more exciting. The lusts of the flesh, the eye, much more exciting than the manna that God gives every day. They, like us, were tempted to follow after the other gods around them and the gods within their own heart. Israel's history and human history from the beginning to the present day is a study of the denial of the true God. This problem is at the heart of all people, whether our home is in Jerusalem or Jakarta or Japan or Jordan, Minnesota. God sends prophets to us and to the people, and you will see his prophets being persecuted more in this country as they have been in the past. And our own natural response is to kill the prophet's words while we may sit there and give them attention. I will not is the response, the natural response of our sinful heart. But you were not willing, Jesus says to Jerusalem. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, the sinful mind is hostile to God. And what does God say to those who reject his word and his Christ? In the city of Jerusalem, God created really another metaphor for the reality of everlasting judgment, a living metaphor, just as Jerusalem was a living metaphor. Gehenna, a fiery, burning refuse dump, an opposing illustration, the opposite of Zion above, referring to hell below, reserved for all those who reject Jesus Christ and his grace and mercy that he comes and wants to give freely to all people. In today's text, believers see revealed, however, not the bad side, the judgment. We really see God's loving heart, even under the disappointment. He who had come to redeem all people and to give them the gift of Zion above. In our text, you hear the voice of God, ready to finish his rescue mission, but the people needing rescue don't recognize him as the rescuer that he is. Decades ago, as a helicopter pilot in a war zone, I often dropped off Navy SEALs in dangerous areas. And then later on, a week later, perhaps sometimes in the middle of the night, we would rescue them from enemy-held territory. Now, none of them were ever unwilling to be rescued. Funny, isn't it? They didn't want to be there. Why would anybody want to not be rescued by the God who has come to give us life and peace and everlasting life? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And you know, when Jesus said this, he probably said it with a very loving way. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. We can't capture the way he said it. The one who kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to her. How often, listen to this, can this be the thundering cry of the law? It's his love underneath. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. How much more beautiful a cameo story of God's love could you find in this vivid picture? I mean, Jesus, that he paid attention to a chicken, a mother, with those little chickens coming underneath. If you've ever seen that before, you know what a, girls would say, darling picture it is. And it is. It's a wonderful picture of God's grace and mercy. And that's what Jesus had at his heart. In this Advent, God calls us to repent and to believe in Jesus Christ, who rescued us, to acknowledge our sins and with joyful faith, to see in Jesus the name that is above every name. God's love was so passionate for sinners that he shed his blood upon a cross. Paul writes in Romans that all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. And for those of us who are obstinate, and that's all of us, we should be reminded of God's great love for us. But now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to repent. And Romans 2:4 says that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. If you're sorry for your sins, that's the work of God the Holy Spirit. And the next step is simply realizing that God has taken away your sins by his death upon Calvary. Upon the cross. Advent is a time for humility and faith and for looking forward to the blessing coming of the Christ child. In the gospel of peace, we have come to see that Jesus Christ is indeed Emmanuel, God with us. And just as at the very beginning of today's same gospel, Matthew, the angel announced to Mary, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So today, we too join the choirs below and the choirs in Zion above in saying, "Blessed is he, Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord, my loving Lord, who took away my sins. Blessed is he, Jesus Christ, who comes in the name of the Lord, the one who came to bring us the gift of everlasting life in Jerusalem above, and that we even enjoy right now." Amen. A prayer has been requested for Vice President Steve Yeager, who will undergo back surgery tomorrow. Let us all join our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of your child, Steve. We thank you for the wonders of modern medicine, which we often take for granted. Grant wisdom and ability to those who will provide him with medical care according to your good and gracious will. Bring him safely through this surgery and grant him a full and speedy recovery. Above all, give him a deep confidence in your gracious care, which you have shown to all of us through the work of your Son, our Redeemer, in whose name we ask this. Amen.